As we examine Chinese and Japanese religions, I want for us to notice Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It says here, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." As we consider Chinese and Japanese religions of Confucianism, Taoism, and Shintoism, we see that they are all philosophical systems. More than 1 billion people worldwide follow these religions of China and Japan. As we look at this passage here, it says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit." Philosophy speaks of a love of knowledge or exaltation of human intellect. Notice again it says here, "through philosophy and through vain deceit." Vain deceit speaks of teaching without substance. That leads a person to believe what is false. Paul here says again, "Beware lest any spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, customs, opinions, practices, rituals, doctrines that are all transmitted from men to men." Again, these are practices, these are traditions of men, these are religious practices, "after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ." The word rudiments, the rudiments of the world, speaks of adherence to and practice of religious rituals that produce a right standing before God according to their thinking instead of Christ's righteousness. We would call it legalism. Again, it says here in verse 9, "For in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." As we take a look at Confucianism, Taoism, and Shintoism, they all emphasize a form of ancestor worship. As you look at the roots of these three religions, these three religious systems, their roots are in ancient animistic religions. As we consider, first of all, Confucianism, the name Confucius is actually a European translation of the Chinese name, Kang Futsu. He lived from 551 to 479 BC. Now, Confucius lived about the same time as Socrates and Plato, the philosophers of the Greek culture. The original aim of Confucius was to provide moral teaching, not to establish a religion. That was not his original intent. Confucius emphasized duty, honor for those in authority, like parents, elders, and rulers, and proper treatment for others. He emphasized the importance of the family as a foundation for society. Now, that's not saying that's bad teaching, but he's emphasizing these things on a religious basis without God. The philosophical teaching of Confucius was organized into a religious system by later Chinese teachers. Conditions in China at the time that Confucius lived were characterized by social anarchy. I believe this social unrest in China made the reforms suggested by Confucius to be more acceptable. And then in 1906, Confucius was deified as co-assessor with the deities of heaven and earth. Evidence from archaeology shows that the ancient Chinese people practiced sacrifices, divination, and ancestral rituals. Again, evidence of roots in ancient animistic religions. Confucianism, as you take a look at it, is humanistic and philosophical in its religious basis. Confucianism emphasizes five human relationships that are foundational to society. Number one, ruler and minister. Number two, father and son. Number three, husband and wife. Elder and younger brothers. And friend to friend. But again, emphasizing human relationships as a basis or as a foundation for society. It focuses more on human conduct than belief in God. A relationship with God is omitted from this philosophical system. In other words, because of self-effort, there is no need for divine law. He emphasized humane treatment of others, upholding righteousness, and proper personal behavior. Confucianism does not encourage the worship of a god or gods. Confucius taught that people can improve and can be perfected through their own efforts, a works-based salvation that is forbidden in Scripture. Confucius emphasized ancestor worship, as I've already emphasized or already said. Ancestors are honored as the source of good fortune. The honor and reverence that were given to living parents continues with worship after their death. Funeral rituals are observed to honor the dead. Ancestors are then worshipped with offerings at household shrines or in temples. The sacred writings of Confucianism are called the Five Classics. These are also referred to as the Confucian canon because he is said to have edited them. The individual volumes are Changes, Poetry, History, Rites, dealing with the rituals, and Annals of Spring and Autumn. Now, the Annals volume deals with the history of 771 to 476 BC. Now, the Book of Changes contains 64 diagrams or hexagrams used for divination. These are used to predict the future and to ensure the approval of human activities. I want you to notice what the scriptures have to say about this in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. So we see the warning that is given to Israel in this case. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Here God tells Israel through Moses, "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations." Notice God refers to these practices as abominations. "There shall not be found among you any that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch." The observer of times refers to astrologers and horoscopes. "Or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits." Some refer to these familiar spirits as family spirits. Again, dealing with what the Confucianism emphasizes with ancestor worship. "Or a wizard, or a necromancer, one who contacts the dead." Again, Confucianism, the Chinese and Japanese religions try to contact the dead. "For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so." Consider also Ezekiel 21. Ezekiel 21, as we consider even the Babylonian roots in some of these religions. Ezekiel chapter 21, verses 18 and following. As we see the example here of King Nebuchadnezzar as he was conquering the world, he used divination and some of these practices that were mentioned in Deuteronomy 18. Ezekiel 21, verses 18 through 22. "The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, Also thou son of man, appoint thee two ways, that the sword of the king of Babylon may come. Both twain shall come forth out of one land. And choose thou a place, choose it at the head of the way to the city. Appoint a way that the sword may come to Rabbath of the Ammonites, and to Judah in Jerusalem, the defense. For the king of Babylon stood at the parting of the way, at the head of the two ways, to use divination. He made his arrows bright. He consulted with images. He looked in the liver. At his right hand was the divination for Jerusalem, to appoint captains, to open the mouth in the slaughter, to lift up the voice with shouting, to appoint battering rams against the gates, to cast a mount, and to build a fort." So we see here that King Nebuchadnezzar used divination to determine which nation he was going to conquer. As it refers to making his arrows bright, this is like rolling dice today, dropping an arrow to determine which direction he was going to go. But again, these are practices that we are told not to use as believers in the true God of the Bible. These five classics were used in the training of Chinese civil servants for thousands of years. These classics were used until 1911, when imperial rule in China was abolished. According to Chinese religions, yin and yang are two opposite cosmic principles that must be kept in balance. Yin is feminine. It is receptive and yielding. Yang is masculine. It's active and unbending. And there's calendar festivals and odd-numbered months of the year to honor the principle of yang. Some examples of yin and yang: passivity and activity, femininity and masculinity, darkness and light, winter and summer, death and life. So again, the principle of yin and yang in Chinese culture. Many Chinese teachers emphasize holistic healing systems based on a 6th century BC writing. This writing was called the Inner Classic of the Yellow Emperor. Notice again, this holistic healing system is not scriptural. God has another idea in mind as far as being whole. Notice with me 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're not talking about holistic health. But we're talking about being whole in spirit, soul, and body. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe the Word of God, meditation upon the Word of God and obedience to the commands of God, I believe that's the way that God makes us whole in spirit, soul, and body, not through a holistic healing system. Chinese religions practice meditation, meditative dance, and acupuncture. Chinese religions practice alchemy. Alchemy is the conversion of minerals and herbs into something that enhances human health and longevity. Now, I do not believe it's necessarily wrong to take an herbal supplement, but the Chinese use this, and they believe that those minerals and herbs are converted into something that enhances human health and longevity. That's unscriptural. Physical healing comes through treating the spirit and proper nutrition, according to Confucianism and Chinese teaching. Other teachings of Confucianism include the following. Confucianism believes that a heavenly mandate for rulers ensures a prosperous kingdom. Rulers who worship their royal ancestors receive approval from them in this heavenly mandate. A proper balance of yin and yang results. A proper balance in the universe occurs from this heavenly mandate. The mandate provides a good harvest and a bountiful food supply. I want you to notice what the Bible says about that in Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. We're not talking about this coming from our royal ancestors, but as we see in Scripture here, as Paul addresses a very pagan culture, he says that these blessings come from God above as a witness to God's goodness. And it says here in the context, as they were offering sacrifices to Paul and Barnabas, it says in verse 15, saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth, and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." Notice these are testimonies of God's goodness. In fact, Paul says to the Romans in the Romans chapter 2, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" God's goodness in sending these things are to lead somebody to repentance in believing in him and not these false teachings of Confucianism. As an example, the Confucian symbol for prosperity is a full rice bin, since rice was the primary staple food in the Chinese culture. The true source of wealth is the God of heaven. Again, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 8 and some warnings that were given to Israel as they were going into a prosperous land of Canaan at that time. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 7 and following. At the end of the wilderness wanderings, here's the warning that God gives to the nation of Israel, God's people. "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains, and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey." Again, a prosperous land. "A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness." Notice the bounty of this land. "Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. Verse 10, "When thou hast eaten and art full, when thou shalt bless, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware," notice here's the warning, "beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied." Notice the bounty here. They're getting wealthy. "Then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Notice, God is the source of wealth. Something else, another teaching of Confucianism is Feng Shui. Feng Shui, speaking of wind and water, is an ancient Chinese art used for choosing building sites and arranging its contents. The Chinese believe that this allows the vital energy of the earth to flow freely. And with that, it brings health and harmony to those within the building. Bad placement of Feng Shui, they believe, results in bad luck and poor health. A second Chinese religion is Taoism. Tao is a Chinese word for the way, and it's a source for all things in existence. As we think about the statements that Jesus Christ makes in John 14:6, he is the way. So I believe this is a satanic counterfeit of the way, Jesus Christ. But again, Tao is a Chinese word for the way, and they believe that the Tao is the source for all things in existence. Now, the primary follower of Taoism lived approximately the same time as Confucius. Taoism was practiced privately for much of its history. Some suggest that Taoism was actually a reaction to Confucianism. Modern Taoism makes a distinction, though, between the religious and lifestyle aspects of the religion. Pursuing the path of the Tao is the religious element of Taoism, but then there's the lifestyle aspects of health, exercise, and meditation. Many Chinese worldwide have been influenced by the philosophy of Taoism. Taoism has its roots in the practices of ancient Chinese religions, as I've already emphasized. The Tao is considered to be the spiritual path and source of everything in the universe. Taoism focuses on a study of natural law and is rooted in man's wisdom. Again, Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 warns us to be careful to not be spoiled by these philosophies. Taoism teaches that nature is symbolic of the spiritual realm. Mountains and pine trees symbolize longevity. Landscapes symbolize the change and motion of life. The Chinese consider the body to be an energy system. Vital energy flows along invisible channels inside the body. When a person's life is in balance and harmony, a constant flow of energy is maintained. Now, the aim of those who follow this religious system, the aim is obtaining harmony and unity with the Tao. And they believe this is achieved in various ways. Through balance and harmony between nature and the body, peace that comes through understanding, letting go of everyday concerns and actions. This is the practice of not doing, according to Chinese philosophy, Chinese teaching. It's action through non-action. For example, it's governing through not governing. Now, achieving a higher level of consciousness by emptying the mind and senses to get back to nature is another way that they seek to achieve unity or harmony with the Tao. One Tao teacher said that if the body is healthy and the mind is peaceful, one can solve all problems. Now, scriptural meditation does not involve the emptying of the mind. I believe it's important for us to be reminded that biblical meditation is the filling of the mind and heart with God's truth. There are so many today that are falling prey to this false teaching about emptying the mind, sitting and doing nothing in meditation. Even so-called Christians are being trapped into this false idea of meditation. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." They believe that if you're meditating, you're going to have a prosperous and successful life. Notice again, the book of the law, the word of God, is to be the focus of our meditation. We're to meditate in the word of God, in the law of God, day and night. But notice the purpose of that, that we may observe to do, observe to obey the commands of God. Observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, again, that's the condition to being prosperous and having good success. Also, Psalm 1. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2, gives us another reference here to meditation upon the Word of God. Again, we're not talking about emptying our minds. We're talking about filling our minds with the Word of God. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Notice, delight in the law of God leads to meditation day and night. We're to fill our minds and our hearts with God's truth. Taoists believe that this leads to immortality, this uniting or this harmony with the Tao. This leads to immortality, perfection, spiritual liberation, and infinite life. They don't talk about eternal life, they talk about infinite life. According to Taoism, by performing spiritual exercises regularly, the mind may continue living after the body is dead. But as the body disintegrates, the mind wakes up elsewhere. I want you to see what Job had to say about this under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. Job chapter 19. And let me just point out here that chronologically, Job was inspired by the Holy Ghost of God before Taoism. It was already inspired by God by the time of Taoism. Job 19, verses 25 through 27. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Yes, this body goes through a time of corruption and decay after death. There's a resurrection that God promises to believers. Immortality, they say, is achieved through yoga and meditation. Philippians chapter 3. Again, they talk about immortality. They refer to infinite life. They do not refer to eternal life. Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 16, as Paul speaks here of knowing Christ and the power of his resurrection, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, this is not a thing of uncertainty, but it's something that Paul is striving for, because then he clarifies in verses 12 through 14, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I have not yet arrived, he says, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Perfect here speaks of being mature or complete in our relationship with God. Be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. So again, we see here that Paul is emphasizing attaining the resurrection through the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing him. But Taoism teaches that immortality is achieved through yoga and meditation. Rituals practiced by Taoists supposedly bring them into harmony with the Tao, as I've already indicated. Sacrifices are offered to spirits of the deceased and the gods. Chinese medicine has a holistic emphasis and has a part in this immortality and this uniting, this harmony with the Tao. Taoists today use sorcery and divination to move spirits to do things for them. Secret charms and potions are used to ward off evil spirits. Alchemy that I've already indicated or already addressed includes formulas for achieving immortality. Astrology, martial arts. I believe martial arts is one of the ways that Chinese religions are being introduced to others. It's not just self-defense. It is a religious practice, and Taoists believe that the martial arts have an element to them, a religious element, that brings them into harmony with the Tao. Now, Taoism has lapsed into polytheism, many gods, demonolatry, and practice of magic. Festivals are celebrated to honor the birthday of the gods or other heavenly beings. In street parades, participants are possessed by the god or spirit they are representing. Taoism celebrates the Lunar New Year with dragon dances and firecrackers to chase away demons, demonic spirits. The most popular gods of Taoism are known as the three star gods. Statues in honor of them can be found in homes and temples. These three gods bring good to their worshipers, according to Taoist teaching. The god of long life, the god of wealth and rank, the god of happiness. Eight immortals are revered in Taoism as well. These are individuals who they believe achieved immortality. They serve as role models for other Taoists. Four examples are, there's a general, a scholar, a musician, an apothecary included in these eight immortals. Demons are said to be spirits of people. Demonic spirits are those who died a violent death or who were buried without a proper Tao ceremony. These spirits can cause sickness and unhappiness according to Taoist teaching. Taoists seek to appease these spirits through elaborate rituals. Now, the Heavenly Empress is worshipped as a mother goddess. She is portrayed as possessing the peach of immortality that ripens every 3,000 years. Now, I was not able to find the reason why 3,000 years is significant, but that's the teaching of Taoism. She is thought to be a ruler over the immortals, the immortal kingdom. The founder of Taoism is now worshipped as a god as well. Some Taoists teach that we can become gods during this life or in the hereafter. Remember again the lie that Satan gave to Eve. Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Taoists also have three treasures that they seek to keep in balance. Vitality, energy, and spirit. But again, as we understand this, Confucianism and Taoism are humanistic religions, philosophical religions. If we're not careful, if we take elements of these religions into our lives, into our worship, then we open ourselves up to being spoiled by the philosophies and the rituals of man. The primary religion of Japan is Shintoism. The history of Shintoism has much uncertainty underlying it. Shintoism in Japan has no specific founder that's mentioned. The Shinto religion originally was not highly organized with writings. The introduction of Buddhism in the 6th century forced the Japanese to organize the Shinto belief system more carefully. The two sacred writings of the Shinto religion date back to the 8th century AD. The basis of their religion is unverifiable since it is not based upon historical accounts. These writings are filled with legends and myths of the Japanese people. Shintoism and Buddhism have existed alongside one another in Japan. This is a form of syncretism. Syncretism is the blending of elements from both religions, or more than one religion, into one. For example, many will celebrate a birth at a Shinto shrine, but funeral arrangements will follow Buddhist practices. Christianity was banned from Japan from the mid-17th century until late in the 19th century. Now less than 1% is a part of any form of Christianity, liberal or true Christianity. Shintoism as a religion is thought to be an extension or a way of life for many, as a part of the Japanese culture. In fact, 80 to 90% of Japanese follow Shintoism in some form or another, but they estimate that only 4 million are actively practicing the Shinto religion. Some even compare the Shinto religion to German Nazism. In fact, Shinto beliefs were responsible for the attack of Pearl Harbor in Hawaii on December 7, 1941. As you take a look at that, kamikazes, meaning divine wind, kamikazes literally flew their planes with this divine wind, literally flew their planes loaded with explosives into American ships. These pilots believed that they would become gods for their bravery. Soldiers and pilots visited Shinto shrines in honor of dead military leaders to drink to their own death. So again, Shinto beliefs were responsible for the attack on Pearl Harbor in Hawaii. Shinto means the way of the gods or the way of the kami. The word Shinto is adopted from Chinese. It's a combining of two Chinese characters. Shin, speaking of spirit or the kami, and To, philosophical path or study. So it's the way or the path of the gods or the way or path of the kami. The word kami refers to sacred spirits, divine beings and forces of nature. It's a spiritual essence. The Japanese believe that there are millions of kami. In fact, one estimate that I read mentions 8 million kami. But they take that to actually mean a myriad of kami, a myriad of gods. Gods of other religions sometimes are included in the kami, the group of the kami. The kami can be evil, destructive, or unpredictable. In fact, those who are killed without being shown gratitude will hold a grudge and seek revenge. And again, they'll bring evil and destruction upon the culture. Tommy do not create the world. Instead, the world gradually emerges through the creation process. Let me remind you what the Bible says, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And by the seventh day that was completed, it's not a gradual process as Shintoism teaches. Followers of Shintoism worship context-specific deities. They have a deity for business, for politics, for education. Their gods also take on natural forms. For example, the sun is worshipped, mountains, oceans, rain, and the trees. Also powerful people, national heroes, and ancestors are worshipped by Shintoism. Shintoism worships several primary gods, though. It's a very polytheistic religion, many gods. But the sun goddess is the principal Kami. She is considered to be the ruler of heaven. She is said to have taught the Japanese how to cultivate rice and to weave with a loom, helping their society, helping their culture. Her grandson was sent to rule Japan, forming the imperial line of emperors. The most sacred site to Shintoism is the Grand Imperial Shrine that's 200 miles southwest of Tokyo. This shrine is dedicated to the worship of the sun goddess. The rice god, Inari, is the god of fertility and prosperity. Inari is often pictured with a fox as his messenger. Then there are seven gods of good fortune, the love goddess, the god of war, the god of generosity. There's two gods of longevity, the god of wealth and the god of work. A ninth century poet is worshipped as the god of learning. Students will pray at his shrine for success in their education and for upcoming exams. The Japanese believe that a male deity along with a goddess produced the eight islands of Japan. As I was doing some reading on that, the islands of Japan are considered to be a paradise because they were created directly by the gods, contrary to the rest of creation that's gradual in its creation. There are thousands of Shinto shrines throughout Japan. In fact, one writer said that every Japanese person is within walking distance of a Shinto shrine. The Association of Shinto Shrines has oversight of 80,000 shrines throughout Japan. Places of worship for Shintoism include roadside shrines, national sanctuaries, nature, or a shrine within the home. A shrine is often built over the place where an ancestor died or where a significant event occurs. The Japanese do not regularly visit a shrine. They normally visit shrines for special occasions or to offer a prayer for help. One reason for that is the home shrines, thousands of home shrines that are placed on a wall as a kami residence. This home shrine is referred to as a god shelf. Shrines have special gateways that symbolize separation from the outside world and the sanctity of the shrine. People will bow as they enter these gateways. There are four stages observed by Shintoism in the worship of the kami. First of all, purification rituals. Purification rituals are performed in which water is used to wash the hands and mouth. Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 9. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. Notice it's traditionalism. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said unto them, well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. But again, these purification rituals performed with water, using to wash the hands and the mouth. These purification rites are done daily, weekly, seasonally, according to the lunar month, and also annually. These purification rituals. Sometimes these purification ceremonies have also been done to bless new buildings. And I even read that sometimes cars made in Japan are blessed with these purification rituals. Another stage in the worship of the kami are pictures and amulets. They're offerings. These pictures or amulets are offered related to the kami. There's other offerings, including money and objects. And they hope that the kami will grant a request as they make these offerings. These pictures are to get a wish fulfilled, and the amulets are for good luck and better health. I think of what Paul said to the philosophers of Athens, "Ye are too superstitious." Again, these superstitious practices, these rituals of Shintoism. Prayer is offered to request the help of the kami, and then a sacred feast is held in celebration. Other shrines hold significance for the Japanese. The war shrine in central Tokyo is dedicated to more than 2.5 million Japanese soldiers who died in battles from 1869 to 1945. These soldiers are worshipped as kami. Some controversy surrounds the shrine since some of those honored were actually war criminals. Every Japanese will visit two greatly revered shrines once in their lifetime. This is like Mecca of Islam. Ceremonies have been observed at these two shrines since the 17th century. At great expense, these two shrines are dismantled and rebuilt every 21 years. Other practices and teaching of Shintoism include the following. Ceremonial dances are performed to entertain the kami. Shintoism teaches that there is no need of a savior. They teach that man is descended from the gods and have a basic goodness. I believe a follower of Shintoism needs to understand the importance and the emphasis in Romans 1 through 3 that we are all sinners by nature and fall short of the glory of God. We need a savior to care for our sin. They believe that the body is good but creates waste that needs purification. Wrong deeds are considered to be impurity. Pollution is corrected by a form of exorcism that drives out the spirit of impurity. Since they worship the spirits of their ancestors, when someone turns from the Shinto religion to Christianity, great pressure is placed upon that person to renounce their new beliefs. Why? Because they believe that they are dishonoring their ancestors. I want you to consider Genesis chapter 3. Let's look at the context, the verse that I mentioned earlier. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, as we close out the study on Japanese and Chinese religions. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. As we see the serpent visiting Eve in the garden. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die." Notice this statement here from the serpent then. "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods." The word gods there is the Hebrew word Elohim. In its proper form, it's a title of God. Notice, "ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods. The deifying of man. Ye shall be as little Elohim. You won't need the God of heaven, because you will be like a god. Many have eaten of the fruit of these false religions that say, "Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Let's be ready. Let's be prepared to answer Chinese and Japanese religions which hold to this age-old serpent of the lie of the serpent, "Ye shall be as gods."